Very good evening, it's the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. We're here for an hour. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, and of course, you guys out there, give us a shout on anything. 01514720967. I can tell you it was a little bit of a struggle just pulling the boys away from the TV. Obviously, the Masters has started. So I think if you go to the Sharp or the Aldridge household, there's probably just one chair placed in front of the TV for the next 4 days.
Right, in the room, yourself as well, out the way.
On your own. Yeah. Good luck, Tommy Fleetwood, anyway.
Yeah.
We hope he does well. At the good moment, start, he's just a shot off the lead, isn't he? So, brilliant stuff. Right, let's have a look at the footy. Liverpool played last. They weren't outstanding. I'm not sure they needed to be.
But it was a good game.
But they did enough, didn't they, to beat Porto?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. We were in at our very best, you know, probably 7 out of 10. Fair due to Porto, they came, and unlike many sides that come to Anfield, even in that competition, they had a goal.
And do you not think that was their downfall from the off? They left a little bit too much space?
Perhaps, but I tell you what, on any other day, they could have got the away goal they were looking for.
Right.
You know, I think the two VAR incidents with the penalties for them, you couldn't get penalties for that. No, quite honestly, it was they weren't penalties. It was no chance. And then the one man, he was a little bit unlucky. He was so close. But I think 2-0 is probably a true reflection of the scoreline. Another day could have been 3-1, which would have been more beneficial to them. So we'll accept that. And the manager, as you said, you would have took that before the game.
Of course, you would, Sharpie. Yeah. Did you watch it?
No, I watched Man City Tottenham. Disappointing again. I said before that would be the one game that City would lose, and the team he put out was like a weakened team, and I'm talking, it wasn't a great game. Tottenham got the goal, City missed the penalty. No great shakes. And I watched last night, Man United Barcelona.
Oh yeah,
nothing
the
great.
United never even had a shot on.
Well, Barcelona, John, were poor.
Barcelona
as well.
But they controlled the game, didn't
they? Yeah, they did. You'd think they'd be better, especially in Barcelona. And then the other one, Ajax Juventus. Again, Ajax. You know, they've been the surprise ones.
Yeah.
But again, if you're Liverpool and you're looking at it, the rest of the team's playing. There was nobody like...
They're all beatable, aren't they?
Yeah, there was nobody.
Anyone in the competition is.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't be scared of Man City. We proved that last year. They're no different to what they were last year, this year, in my opinion. So, whatever happens. Whoever wins it deserves it, don't it, at the end of the day?
I think you've got to remember with Barca, that Messi was only sort of half fit, wasn't he? He still had a groin strain.
He got a belt in his nose, didn't he, early on, and cut his nose. I don't think he was that pleased with that kind of thing. But listen, talking about that, I thought the Scots boy, McTominay, was brilliant for Man United.
He's not bad,
he's
is
not
he?
Bad. And yeah, I thought the other guy was a joke again. And I had a discussion today about Pogba. And people say, but I'm thinking... Oh, people say, no, his head's turned, he wants to go to Madrid. I'm thinking, you're playing against Barcelona. What a chance to see. I tell you what.
What a challenge to show how good you are.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, nah, I'd have whipped him off. Bang, definitely. But no, listen.
So do you think, I was looking at Suarez, looks like he put a bit of timber on, hasn't
he?
He looked a little bit fit for him. Like
he was never slim, though, was he, John?
No, but he's been on the weight tour. He's been on the tappers. One of the other, or the
Rioja. Tapas. Oh, the tapas.
Tapas. I call them tapas. Or pinchos, as they're called in San Sebastian.
Right.
And the Rioja, but he did look a little bit heavy.
They looked frightened of him, though.
You know,
didn't they?
Go, what?
They looked frightened of him, I thought, whenever he got the ball.
He's a genius, isn't he, as well? He's a fantastic player.
I thought he did all right, Coutinho, and he got dragged off. I thought he did okay.
Modest. But Ajax, as you say, they look great, but nothing up front in terms of cutting edge. Passed the ball really well. They scored a great goal, actually.
Yeah, the boy, he's been linked with a few clubs kind of thing. But no, they were okay. They're a young side. They were okay. But as I said, looking at them, disappointing in the Tottenham City game as well. And, you know, obviously the VAR situation comes in there again. Which, listen, I think it was a penalty.
It is.
Because of the new rules, and they said that you can't make yourself any bigger, and they did do that.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with somebody else who said sometimes that's just a natural reaction when you slide in and your hand goes up kind
such
of thing.
Such a grey area, isn't it? And years ago, they've got to identify. I had a chat with Sammy Lee, you know, a good mate of mine last night. We were talking about it, he seems to think, Sammy, that, you know, they're going to have to, and the way it's going is, if it hits your hand, it's going to be a penalty whichever way. That's the only way they can, you know, they can do it in future. You know, whatever way it stands, and you'll get players. If that happens, you get players flicking it up against people's hands, wouldn't you? So, yeah. I don't. It's really tough. It really is tough, and they go your way sometimes, and they don't others, isn't it?
Well, talking of VAR, and there was a couple, wasn't there? But it was a bit of a mess, wasn't it? Because the first VAR incident at Anfield. They tested out this rolling sign, didn't they, on the scoreboard? Do you see it come up and it was rolling across? This is a VAR moment, or whatever it was.
I missed that. No,
and then obviously there's a wait, and after 2 minutes, George Sefton has to announce
the second one,
VAR over. They've obviously thought, this is a mess, let's just get rid of that.
George, the second time he must have been asleep. So the referee's waiting for this decision. And we didn't know what it was, the Lovren instance. And no one all looking at each other saying, why have you not started the game? Something's happened. We didn't see it, supposed to hit his hand and whatever. And next minute, the referee goes like that. And then, you know, no penalty. And George says, VAR, no penalty. Instead of saying, tell us VAR is about a minute or so before. Yeah. But
no, it's not quite properly done.
No. I'm all for VAR. And the more I'm seeing it now, I'm going against it.
I'm a little bit like that myself. And I'm thinking, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop it? You know, the incident with Salah and the tackle.
Yeah, Mo Salah.
That was all right, Sharpie. No, that's like me, as a striker, we tend to miss time challenges, and that's just a striker's challenge.
No, but what I'm saying is, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop? I'm not just seeing Salah, but I'm talking about, you could have probably said the Kane incident with Delph as well. Where do you draw the line? Do you have to go after the game and say, well, listen, we've looked to that again? I don't know. It's just taking, for me, I've said it all along, taking the power away from the official. I know people say it helps them when it's offside goals and all that and incidents of the ball crossing the line. But I don't know where you draw the line.
It's right, like the Mo Salah one, looking at it, first time I've seen it.
I've just shown it you now. It's terrible, isn't it?
He could have got a red card. Hey, that goes VAR.
He should have got a red card.
He's gone over the top, whether it is a striker's challenge or whether he's meant it, only he knows. But the VAR instance, I look like, for me personally, the Thierry Henry one, when he scored against the Republic of Ireland, that is the ideal situation for VAR.
Yeah.
That's the scenario. It's in the back of the net. It's clear. Everyone's seen it by the referee and the linesman. Bang, done. Mm. Off, you know what I mean? Other ones. I'll go get... there was an incident when Jack Rodwell got sent off in a derby a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was Martin Atkinson was the referee, and the ball's dead. He's down on the floor. Whoever he challenged and all, and the incident's dead. That's the time you can use VAR because he got sent off, and he shouldn't have been because a booking, probably a booking, but it was never a sending off. When someone's down or it's out of play or in the net, then you can do it. But Charby's right. It's for them to make their minds up, and notoriously they never make the right decisions, do they?
It's in the Premier League next year, isn't it? Imagine how many problems there'll be in the Premier League. Because it'll be a recurring theme for at least
Does it go the same way that the VAR is based in London or whatever and they're making all the decisions from London?
Yeah, I think there's a headquarters, isn't there? All the video feeds are back in there and you've got the panel of referees making the decisions.
See, I go back to the situation where we talk about being referees and officials and sticking them as a three or a four, and that's your group, that's you as a four, and the fourth official has a monitor in front of him who's watching the television. If there's an incident, the four of them amongst themselves, they're all wired up, can decide. Yeah. They can decide. If the referee doesn't see it, the fourth official at the side of the pitch, looking at the monitor again, it'll take 2 minutes, will look at it and go, I'll tell you what, I think you were wrong there. Blah, blah, blah. And then they can have a quick discussion and then people do it there and then at the game, not 300 miles away in the city studio in London.
And the fourth official should be a referee. Should be a referee who's just retired or within like 5-10 years who can't get about the pitch with his feet but actually sees it on the screen. So they should be. Or an ex-player. There you go.
Yeah. But ex-players don't become referees, do they?
No.
For some reason. Maybe some obvious reason.
No, but, that's the new idea.
Just to go back to the initial point, 2-0's enough, is it?
No. You never say, in football, you can't say that because it'll come back and bite you on the bum, won't it? And you can't. You'd like to think...
But your instinct was it was enough in terms of two-legged.
I think we'll go over there.
Liverpool score over there.
I think, what will they do? They'll know what happened last year because they had a go with us out there and we hit them on the break. We were fantastic, 5-0. It's tough as their manager, but he likes to do what like Klopp and Guardiola does. He likes them to attack, so they will come and have a go. You know, leave it. So if we get one goal, you'd like to think that they can't get four. But Liverpool want to go there and preserve, you know, unbeaten run. You know, you want to draw the game, win the game, you know, keep yourself ticking along. But at 2-0, you know, you're well happy with 2-0.
Right, let's talk to a few Reds and Blues. It's the Radio City Legends, 20-7, 4720967. We'll start on the Red side of things with David. Evening, David.
All right, gents.
Hello, pal. What, you want to focus on Jordan Henderson, is that right?
Yeah, I do. I'll be honest, I know the expression "one swallow doesn't make a summer" and all that. And I'll be honest, I'm one of Henderson's biggest critics, but I have to say, over the last couple of games, he's been magnificent. Obviously, on the Friday, when they were making those changes, I was getting ready to, I was fuming. I was thinking, why are we bringing Henderson? Why are we bringing Milner on? But he changed the game. And then obviously, and then on Tuesday, he was great again. And when you think about it, he might not be the best player in the world, but one thing, he's got a great mentality about him, and he's got bundles of energy. And when you think about it, that position where we've been playing him, we've probably been giving him a disservice, to be honest, because you think of the energy he has, he's absolutely ideal for that position because he can press. If he was a Formula One car, he'd be a Mercedes, wouldn't he? Because he's got constant energy. Yeah. And I just think now, playing where he is now with Fabinho being there, I think half the problem was Fabinho being there was obviously we didn't have anyone like Fabinho, but now we've got him, and I think actually now that could be a bit of a tactical masterstroke with regards to Henderson. So as I said, I'm one of his biggest critics, but I think the last couple of games he's been magnificent.
Yeah, no, that's a good call, Dave. I've always liked Jordan. You know the way he goes about it, he gives you everything on the pitch. He's been a buffer in front of the back four, like a conductor getting the ball, you know, doing what the manager tells him to do in that position, switching play, you know, doesn't go over the halfway line, you know, very rarely your type of thing. You get involved in and around that area. But now Fabinho's come and showed that he's an ideal player to play in front of the back four. And out of Fabinho and Henderson, he's probably the better in doing that. Jordan's gone back to something that he used to do when he was younger, you know, and he's played for England in that position. And you're quite right, you know, he's, for the second goal, what a ball. You know, he was all over the place, he was chasing people down, and that's what the manager wants. I think this has fell nicely for the manager. I really think it has. It's a bit of a godsend for him. Instead of maybe playing Jordan one week and Fabinho and all that, he knows now that Fabinho's going to be his number one there in front of the back four. And then Jordan will now... And it could save him a few bob in the summer, because we're looking for a player sort of in that sort of area as well to get in the box and cause problems in and around the 18-yard box. You can see the final ball.
Is that not the Ox? So when you start next season, you've got Naby Keita, who's meant to be that as well. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you've got Henderson, who's now...
Well, that's right. And everyone's saying that we need someone in that position. And if you need someone in that position and you're looking at someone to fit in the squad to be... top player, you're looking at 60 million, Steve. You know, mad money. He might have just saved the manager and realised that he can't play that position and do things in that position. I don't think he can score 10, 12 goals a season, personally, but you never know. I think he's got like 6, 7 in him from that position, which is better than what we've got at the moment from any of them, except Shaqiri type of thing. So I think the manager now is looking and he's thinking, yeah, well, you know, Milner can get another year out of Milner. He could stay in front of the back four. Fabinho, you know, Wijnaldum can do that job. And then he can push him out. And he could save himself a few bob. You know, we need a striker. We need a really good striker who can play any of those 1-3 positions that we've got up top. And that could save him a few bob to put in the kitty when he sells the players that he needs to sell there for that position.
David, what would you do next season with all those players?
It's difficult with the midfield front three, because not like in the same respect of Kane, but like you need someone who's happy to come in and like be a sort of a type squad player, because you'd think if those three were fit, they would always play. So you need someone who would be happy to come in and like sort of like not be not play, but know that he wouldn't always be first choice. As in,
but the one thing wrong with that, Dave, is that's what you don't want. You want the best. You know, look what City have got. They have Sané coming on. You know, yes, you know, they're only young, but they're really top players. You know, whether he gets someone who's young, who's that good, who's willing to learn his trade at Liverpool, you know, to come on and off. Or you get someone and say, well, look, it's a squad game, and you know it's going to be rotation in here, you know, through the season. Yeah. You're costing 75 million, whatever it is, and then you're part of we're going here. We're going for that trophy. We're hopefully going for Europe again. I'm going for this, and you sell the club to them, you know, and he'll get like 30 games anyway, and it just gets spread along the way. You know, yeah, but where the player is,
I think that midfield three that we played on Tuesday, like fingers crossed we beat Porto, but I don't think I'd like to go like that against Barcelona. I think we're not too open, but I thought we were. But they had a few chances, John, to be honest. And that fella up top, he was great until he got near the penalty box, wasn't he?
He was a handful, by the way. I forgot his name, the number 11. Mm. He was, do you know what? Big, strong, he was powerful, you know, created lots of problems for us, you know, especially that he was running down Trent's channel a lot. And, he could have scored a couple of goals.
Couldn't
shoot. He was like Barras, wasn't he? He got put his head down, didn't he? Just doesn't look, does he? Just looking down.
But I was looking at him and I was thinking, you know, coming off the bench, he would be ideal for Liverpool. Better. He'd have more impact than the players we have coming off the bench, you know, forward-wise for me. You know, someone of that ilk. But hey, the manager must know what we need in the summer. You know, you're looking at Rigi, you think that he's going to go. Sturridge, obviously, his contract, he's going to go. And there's a huge void there, you know. So it won't be cheap.
Sharpie, do you think it's even harder for Jordan Henderson when you are the captain and you're not first choice every game? And there was a point, actually, where he got taken off against Spurs. Yeah, it was like the 65th minute. And you're the captain being taken off in a hugely important...
But we've said
point
this before,
of time.
Yeah, but we've said this before, Stephen, but as a captain, what a captain used to be. You know, the armband...
You can say that, but if he's got the armband on, he must feel it.
The armband gets tossed around now. You know, like nothing kind of thing. You just throw it to each one and somebody gets it. Yeah. Same at Everton as well. Same at every club now. Uh-huh. Whereas we used to be... We'd know about a captain was a captain. He was a team. He was playing every week in, week out. It doesn't happen like that now. So, listen, it'll be hurting him that he hasn't been playing. You know, as simple as that. Going on next season... can I see him playing regularly? No, I think Liverpool will look to improve. You know, then it gets to say, well, how old's he now?
He's 29.
So he's still a few years ahead of him, kind of thing, 29. You know. So, no, he'll still be a good player for Liverpool. Yeah. Whether he starts as many games as he wants to remains to be seen. But as John says, if they want to challenge City all the time and challenge the squad that they've got, you know, I think they've got to bring in players who are going to have to say, listen, hold on. Mm. I'm just going to have to sit and wait for my chance and get the opportunity when it comes.
You know, they've got the young lad Brewster who's not ready yet at the moment. But I think regarding the captaincy, it's a tough one for the manager because Jordan's been a captain for a few years now and he's done nothing wrong, in my opinion. You know, but when a player's not, well, he's going to get like a bit of a squad player, he will probably play like 35 games a season, maybe more, or be involved in more. Where Van Dijk's going to play 50.
Mm. So you need to hand the armband on.
So you've got, as a manager, you've got to say, well, to Jordan, well, if he's thinking that way, you know, he's the leader now, he's a centre-half, a preferred from there, you know, he's going to play all the games, he's our leader, you're our vice-captain, you know, nothing detrimental to you, it's just the way it's worked out at the club, you know, I still want you to be heavily involved, you're great in the dressing room, blah, 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 which he is, and maybe do it that way, because we all know, Jordan, when he's on the pitch, he does really well as a captain. You know, you can't. But when you've got a player of a Van Dijk's ilk, you know, worldwide, probably the best centre half in the world at the moment, then you may have to just make him accept that sort of thing.
You go with that, David? Would you?
Yeah, I think obviously it's gone are the days when a captain was. I think it does get moved around a little bit nowadays and stuff. So. I think I don't think he got complacent because he was captain, thinking he'd play every game. Maybe I don't know, but I think sometimes when you take a captaincy off a person, I think it actually boosts them. You know, I think it actually gives them a bit of a wake up call. Not that he'd need one anyway, but he might just think to himself, "Something else. I've been a little bit complacent. I'm captain. I thought I'd be playing most games. Now I realise that I'm not captain. Maybe I'll go a bit more. Maybe I don't know."
You see, I dispute what you were saying. I think the captaincy isn't important to the whole team, but I think it is to the individual. And I think if you say to Jordan Henderson, you're losing that, I think it'd be devastating. Well, because he's exceptionally proud to be captain. Yeah, that's the point I'm making to you.
Yeah,
that's
that always makes it tough.
Yeah, it is. But listen, what I'm saying to you is, in our day, if you were captain, you were guaranteed you were playing every single game. You were guaranteed you were playing every single game. Yeah. You were the captain. And that's the way it was. But nowadays, where people are in, look, Everton gave it to Tom Davies. How would you give it to Tom Davies? A lad,
yeah,
so
but he
young.
Must have felt responsible at that point.
No, but he can't be. He's a young lad, and I think that's a difficult one for a young lad to do that kind of thing. But I understand where you're coming with Jordan Henderson. Yeah, he'd be devastated, but at the end of the day, it's not about individuals. It doesn't matter how you feel, it's for the benefit of the team.
David, thank you. We've got to move on. Loads to talk about between now and 7:30. 0151 472 0967. Radio City Legends. It's 7:05. Please get involved in the show. 0151 472 0967. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. Sharp, you've had a week to reflect on the last bit of action. We talked about it on Monday. And of course, Everton, next up for them is Fulham. So maybe four London scalps, do you think, in succession?
Listen, you like to think so on paper they're down. Listen, they've got nothing to play for. But in saying that, Scott Parker, I think, is wanting the job at Fulham. So it'll be an interesting one. It's always a decent place to go down and watch a game.
You're going down, are you?
Yeah, we would expect to win it. You know, and that's not been like, you know, blasé or anything kind of thing. But on a good little run of form, I think that's the most important thing. I've said that before time and time again, that he finished the season well. You know, beating Arsenal, beating Chelsea. You know, let's see if we can beat Fulham as well. But, no, listen, I'm looking at the games coming up. We've got, you know, good games coming up as well. As I said, Man United and Tottenham. But let's win this one, Fulham away. Feeling quite confident after the performance of the last few weeks.
Right, on Monday we had a really good conversation about Phil Jagielka and, of course, Leighton Baines and the future for them with their contracts coming to an end. So our next caller, Martin, wants to pick up on that one. Evening, Martin.
Evening, lads. How are you doing?
Hello, Martin.
Are you getting a suntan or a wind tan?
It's glorious suntan, up here, by the way. Yeah. It's glorious.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I know we're going to be letting a lot of players go in the summer. And most of them I agree with. I mean, I think there's going to be one or two that are going to be hard to get shut up because no one else will pay them the wages we're paying them. But the likes of Jags, I think, would want to stay, even if it was on a reduced playing role, because I think Jags is the type that will go into coaching and management eventually, hopefully something to do with Everton. Bainesy, we probably need him to stay, because finding another decent left-back is going to be a struggle. I mean, I know Callum Connolly's been out on loan. Was he at Bolton? Did he get recalled, did he, with all this stuff going on at Bolton?
He might have done, Matt. I don't know. Yeah, he was at Bolton.
Yeah. I mean, so he's had a couple of years out on loan. I mean, he's not... Is he 20 yet, Callum? Or is he still about 19?
Yeah.
But we need another left-back. But if Leighton will sign for another year, it sort of eases the pressure off, because we all know our number one left-back is Luca Digne. But for once, it looks like we're going into a transfer window with a policy of the age bracket we want to sign and the type of player we want to sign. Unlike... I won't call him Steve White. Me and the lads call him Jimmy White. That was with Ronald Koeman. I think the only thing we got out of him was Garner Gay. I mean, it looks now like we're going in with a policy. I would like to see Jags get another year, because he's the oldest in the squad, and you need that experience around sometime. I can't make, because Michael, Kurt Zouma's only 24. Yari Mina's only 23, 24. I think Michael Keane's only about 25, isn't he? So you need that person around the squad. He's good for the squad. He always a laugh and joke, but he also lays the law down when he asks. So I don't know what you think.
Yeah, but Matt, the only thing I would say, and I think Jags has been brilliant, you know, and knowing him as a do kind of thing, I think he'd still want to play. You know, every time he plays for us, I think he's our best defender. I honestly do. As a centre-back, you know, we've tried different combinations and everything else, and he's been unfortunate. He's only played 4 games this season. I think that's hard. He's been hard done to a little bit, because every time he plays, I don't think he lets you down. So I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, right, okay, you're going into the new season and you have got Michael Keane and you have got Yerry Mina. If he definitely signs Kurt Zouma, I don't think Jags will be there next year. I think Jags is one of those who wants to play, who trains every week so he can play on a Saturday. And I think it's been hard for him this season. He's not played as many games as he wanted to. So, listen, I'd love him to stay, but I think he's just one of those guys, and you talk about the coaching and everything else. I still think he can do a good job for somebody, you know, and I just think that, you know, I'd love him to stay, but I think he's one of those guys that he wants to play. And if he's not playing every week here, he'll look to do it elsewhere.
And just on that Kurt Zouma situation, so Chelsea's hearing has started this morning, 8 a.m, and that's because they're challenging the transfer ban that they've been hit with by FIFA, but no decision is expected on that until later this month. So obviously when that happens, that might open the door for Chelsea to actually conduct transfer business. If it does, you might end up with Kurt Zouma then.
Well, yeah, and you look at it as well, Stephen, you think, right, OK, fair enough, but who's going to actually make the final say on Kurt Zouma at Chelsea, whether they want him or not? You know, is it the manager or is it the director of football? Whoever? We don't even know. This present-day manager, Sarri, how long is he going to be there? Chelsea's a bit of a mess at the moment. They've got so many players out. So I wouldn't hold my breath at what immaterial what happens in this hearing, you know, what the situation with Kurt Zouma will be, because I don't know who's making the decisions down there. Because would they keep Zouma? The new manager might come in and don't fancy him, you know, and let him go kind of thing. So I think the boy's got a decision to make what he wants to do. But at this moment in time, I think Chelsea's in a mess, because I don't know if they want to keep the manager. Mm. Who's making the decisions about that? Who's making the decisions about the players they're bringing in? So it's a strange one there for Chelsea. So
Martin, are you desperate to keep Zouma?
Yeah. Not desperate, but we've got him back in the French squad. We've played him every week. And I think, to point to Sharpie, I think Conte told him he didn't want him. Mm. I think Sarri's told him he doesn't want him, similar to what he's told Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah.
So even if he did go back, and if this transfer ban's upheld, Chelsea can still sell players. People are saying, well, they won't want to. But the thing is, you know, who's going to go to Chelsea as a manager if they sack Sarri with a transfer ban? The truth is, nobody. They'd be lucky to get Sam Allardyce. You know what I mean?
Don't rule that out.
Well, I wouldn't. He's probably saying there's some good shippies around Chelsea's ground up. But, you know, Kurt Zouma, he's never had a consistent run. He's been at Chelsea since he was a kid. I think he's been there since he was 16, 17. Mm. And I think he spent most of his time out on loan.
Yeah.
But we've brought him on. And him and Luca Dina have got a little thing. You know, when he plays out on the left side of the defence, him and Luca Dina seem to have a good understanding.
Yeah.
So he himself, he's saying all the right things. He's not sulking. He's not shouting off. He's saying, look, I love it here at Everton, but I'm still contracted to Chelsea. He's saying the right things in public. I think maybe in private he's saying to his agent, look, get me to Everton. Mm. No matter what, get me to Everton. They've shown faith in me. They've played me. I'm back in the French team. You know, we should have been back in it last year. I could have had a winner's medal. Mm. So, but we have got... The good thing about it is we've got Mason Holgate coming back from West Brom. I believe West Brom, you know, West Brom asked about buying and we're told, well, yeah, there's a clause, there's contract that says you can't afford them type of thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Martin. You talk about that, and okay, if you say Zouma stays and you're looking at Mina, who they've just bought for a lot of money, you're looking at Michael Keane, talking about Mason Holgate. Now, that doesn't look great for Jags. You know, Jags is not going to stay if that's the situation kind of thing. So it is an important summer for us. The manager's come out and I think he said that, you know, the way forward is signing younger players, you know, so obviously that discounts Jags a little bit in that one. So, listen, it'll be interesting to see what happens in summer. I think it's going to be a really busy summer and it's one that, you know, Marcel Brands will have to work extremely hard in terms of getting people off the wage bill. Whether he can do that remains to be seen, but it's certainly going to be a busy summer.
Martin, thank you very much indeed. He mentioned then Danny Drinkwater. I don't suppose you saw the stories today and the quotes from the manager. I didn't really think this happened, but Maurizio Sarri has spoken about why he doesn't play. He cost $35 million, didn't he, under Conte?
Which was a strange signing.
So he said to the media, he's never played because he's not suitable to my system. I told him everything in August and he appreciated it, but decided to remain. So he's obviously sat him down and said, look, you just don't work. He's made a decision straight away.
Well, what can I tell you something there then? If you said that to me,
what would you do?
I'd want to play.
Yeah, of course.
I'd want to go. Absolutely. Let me go on loan. Or, 100%. I'll tell you what to do. We'll sort something out. Let me go on loan or let me go and we'll sort a settlement out. You'd want to play. How can you sit at a club all season, at the beginning of the season, manager saying, you're not playing?
But how can you make that decision straight away?
Well, he doesn't fancy him.
Well, the player should demand, you know, if you're not going to play me, then I'm not going to sit on my backside. We've heard this before from many a player, you know, I've got to play somewhere. I'll go abroad, go here, there, come up with a solution, or get rid of me and sell me to someone else, and we'll sort it out.
How is a player would you sit there? He's getting paid good money, and it will be good money.
Terrific money.
Well, he must be happy to do so.
Yeah, to keep fit and not play in a competitive game, that would drive me mad not to play.
Oh, yeah. Just train.
Train. Oh, no.
Too many players like that. Let's shift on to Steve, who's our next caller, wants to focus in on the Champions League. Evening, Steve.
Hi, evening, lads. Hello,
Steve.
Evening, Jamie. All right. And I've heard you obviously talking about the Porto game. It looks like we'll probably progress. I'm not chanting anything, but I think they'll probably open up a little bit in the second half and we'll probably counter-attack them. I think we'll go through to the next round. And it looks like potentially we're going to get Barcelona. I just felt watching the game last night, John, that I know Messi has an aura around him, and obviously, you know, players do naturally, you know, stand off him, and the whole team's kind of like that. And I feel like to win against Barcelona, you've just got to throw their reputation out the window and just really go at them. And I feel like United missed a tick there, because I don't feel like they really thought that they could win that game, whereas I feel like we'll go into that game thinking that we can win it and we're favourites.
Yeah, if you're at home first leg, the main thing is, as we've shown against Bayern Munich, you've got to get that clean sheet. You know, you have to get the clean sheet, and then, you know, even in Barcelona, the double, you can get a draw, score a draw, you know, you could win. You know, we've done that before. But I thought United paid them too much respect. We're scared of them. They never had one shot on target, United. You know, that tells you an awful lot. I can understand to a certain degree, but, you know, whether Solskjaer might have thought, like, nil-nil will do us here.
Keep us in the tie.
But when the goal came in, you'd have expected them to try and get on level pegging, but they just scared of the threat what they showed. But I agree with you. You've got to be careful. If we were to play Barcelona and it happens that way, I think we'd be away first leg anyway.
Are we away first leg
we would be away if it came that way. Then it's different. You're away from home, you go and play to get goals and keep it as it is and then see how it pans out. But if you're at home, then for me, you do what we did against Bayern Munich. You know, you make sure you keep your back door locked open. We try and hit them the way we can, and we can. You know, Barcelona at the back are very gettable, you know, in my opinion. They're not fantastic. The forte is going forward and in the midfield. But you give the ball away to them, you can't get it back.
No.
You know, it's like, do you know, we used to play, I watched the game last night, we used to always do in training, keep possession, you know, 10 passes a goal. And that's how they played the game. They ain't going anywhere, Barcelona, but Man United just couldn't get the ball off them.
I thought they just passed it. I just thought they passed it for the sake of passing last night. They were comfortable. They got the early goal and they just thought that will do us kind of thing. I thought he started really well, Messi, in terms of his movement, his touch and his awareness, different class. And then he just kind of drifted out of it. It was as if they said, "Well, listen, I tell you what, if you score one, we'll score another one." You know, and they didn't really get. They didn't get forward to Suarez quickly enough, kind of thing. And you know, but I just think Barcelona will win that game. And it's how they step up in the next leg.
No, I agree. I think United, just as you quite rightly said there, they paid them far too much respect. I don't feel like they believed they could progress in the tie of them being modest. But, you know, they literally just sat off. I think the second leg they'll probably get found out more. The new camps, probably they'll end up winning that game probably 2-3. But
well, they have to go out and have a go, haven't they? They've got to go out and have a go against Barcelona. You don't want to leave yourself in that predicament.
Just very quickly, John, on a. Because obviously with the Chelsea game on Sunday, massive game for us. I just feel like if we win that game, I feel like we will go on to win it. But just looking at the Chelsea team tonight, they've dropped 7 players for the quarterfinal. Yeah, Europa team, 7 first team. I'm just looking for side.
Do you know what I was interested in? Has it been dropped?
Has it dropped, mate?
Quite and right, he's hopeless.
So obviously, they're keeping him sweet for next week and the home game. They're probably going to go down there and try and, you know, be conservative and get a chance of bringing them back and beat them at home next week, but whilst leaving themselves stronger at Anfield,
A priority. Steve, thank you very much indeed. You were talking then about what happens with the Champions League semi-finals, and of course, if Man United and Man City both get through... UEFA and the police have already said that the fixture has to be reversed, doesn't it?
No, but what happens if... Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Sorry.
So they've said they can't play on the same week, right. so they've said the fixtures will have to be reversed. So it might actually affect Liverpool's fixture, as in whether you play first or second.
No, I think if that only happens if, what I got told, if Man United was to progress, we play at home first. If Barcelona progress, I'm pretty sure that we play away first.
Right, OK.
So have a little look.
Clarify
tell me if
that
I'm wrong.
For us, someone. We'll have a look in the break anyway. We'll do pens in a moment or two. 10 minutes past seven. So if you are interested in the Masters Golf, it's underway. And Tommy Fleetwood, our man, of course, he's just a couple of shots off the lead. He's one under at the moment, but the lead being held by three players. Beauregard, Harding and Kazir, Pat and Kazir. So three names that perhaps you wouldn't expect to be at the top of the leaderboard, but that's how it's unfolding. Right, let's put these two head-to-head. Of course, it's the Radio City Legends and it's time for a bit of pens with John Aldridge and Graham Shaw. Boys, are you OK?
Yeah.
Right, let's get going. I've got my... Get this bed firing. Here we go. There we go. Let's get some music. Up and running. So... Last time out, Aldo extended his lead. Sharpie 21, Aldo 25. End of the season is close. Whose turn is it?
Yeah, it's. Oh, I don't know. Sure.
No, Sharpie went first, didn't he?
Yeah, go on.
Go on, John.
Number two.
Number two. Liverpool and Chelsea played in the League Cup earlier in the season, with Chelsea winning 2-1. Mm. Who scored Liverpool's goal on that day?
I know Hazard scored for them, didn't he?
For Liverpool. Doesn't spring to mind straight away.
It doesn't actually. I'll just have to go 2-1 chance. I'll go Firmino.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Was the man with the connection to Chelsea? Daniel Sturridge.
Anfield. He didn't score at Anfield.
Oh, don't tell me this is wrong.
He scored the 1-1 game. He didn't score at Anfield. You sure? I can't remember.
If you're not happy, you argue the point because it's been known that they've got it wrong before.
I don't say they. Christian.
He scored both games.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So. Oh, I've never got that.
Five.
There you go. Sharpie. Name the song and the artist.
He said this is the easiest one ever. Let me hear.
Honestly.
No pressure then, mate. No, no.
Right, you're only getting a quick snippet of this song. Oh. Here we go.
Oh, that's...
Right, you ready? Do you want it once more?
A little bit more than that.
No, that's all right.
You ready? Here we go.
Oh, come on, Sharpie.
It's you two. Oh, so I'm getting...
Song and artist.
He just said...
He said it's the artist. He didn't give me the song.
Oh, no, he didn't.
It's gone.
Absolutely no idea.
How can you not get that? John Aldridge, come on.
I think the song.
Really?
What is it today?
Streets Have No Name.
No.
No, definitely not.
I thought it was The Pretenders.
No. Do you not remember what Match of the Day used to open up to? Actually, when it was on ITV, was that what it was?
Yeah.
Come on.
By the...
By U2.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Sharpie, that was an easy one.
Sunday, bloody Sunday in my mind for something. Then he said, what day is it? And I'm thinking, this is only Thursday.
All right, John.
Six.
Number six. Bobby Gould and Phil Neal have both managed which...
Oh, board? Come on.
Coventry.
Coventry.
Business!
Fantastic answer.
Would you got that,
and one on the board.
Okay. I think everybody would have got that. I think Steve would have got that.
Well, I'd have got beautiful
game. No, you would. Beautiful day.
Beautiful bloody Sunday.
Five.
You've had five. You had it last time.
I thought I had four, sorry.
No wonder you couldn't get it right.
I have four this time.
Number four. At the end of the 2014-2015 season, which player received the Player of the Season award?
2014-2015.
Aguero.
Oh, dear me! No, they're all topical, these questions.
Was it Suarez?
Eden Hazard.
Was he? Suarez.
What's topical about that?
Well, you know, he's not playing tonight. He's
oh, that's really topical, yeah.
There you go.
Right, I've got to
okay,
avoid the Everton.
Okay, two wrong by Sharpie. You can get it. You can
I've got
hit
to avoid the Everton. Oh, get the Everton question. That would leave Sharpie with a tough one.
Where is the Everton question? I'm not sure there is an Everton question here.
Oh. Is there not now? Oh. Well, I'll go number one then.
Number one. Who scored the most goals in a calendar year, including club friendlies? So a calendar year, is it Ronaldo or Messi?
Oh, yeah. Suarez.
God, 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50?
That's a guess. That's a silly
Messi.
Question.
I'll go Messi.
You'd go Messi, and what would you have gone for?
I'd have made the other one.
You'd have gone for Suarez.
Suarez!
No. Yes! It was Messi. 96 back in 2012. 96
what?
Goals.
Wow.
There you go, that's a calendar year.
That's a poor question.
And Sharpie,
that's
finally
lazy.
For you. What club did Fulham's caretaker manager Scott Parker start his playing career at?
Oh, I think
what
I know.
Club did he start
was
at?
Was it Chelsea, went in Fulham? Fulham, I think.
Even John's giving you answers now. Charlton, how the season has affected
I
you,
think
Sharpie.
It was them. I might be wrong.
It was.
No.
Charlton. Charlton. He's written it down for you.
Listen to that music, Sharpie.
What is it? I can't hear one. He's a few clubs in Charlton, West Ham, Fulham,
Chelsea. Well? Yeah, good player. Good player. He got played the year one year, didn't he?
Yeah, Chelsea, Fulham.
Sharpie, if you had to compare your performances on pens to a football team in the league, what would they be?
I would put it to the referee that was in charge of your Champions League game the other day, that he missed everything, and Salah sending off.
Look, Christian's back. He's helping you out with easier questions.
Have you seen him helping them out of the trip? We're keeping them a week.
Poor lad.
Yeah.
Poor lad.
And let me tell you, and this is how it's gone wrong, there wasn't even a mystery voice. You know why? Because he's obviously come in too late to look up a mystery voice.
Mixing it up.
Not at all.
No Everton question. No mystery voice.
No, exactly.
Yeah, all horribly there'll wrong, be an Everton question next week, won't it? And just one Liverpool.
Yeah.
Right. I believe you're in action again, aren't you? This weekend, John. A very important match. The Sean Cox match over in Dublin.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow
so
night.
You're involved in that. I mean, it was nice to see a video of Sean today. I don't know whether you saw that on social media, where he's waving
on Twitter. Yeah.
You know, which is quite nice. You know, after
all
that time.
Yeah, he's struggling badly. He's still struggling badly, obviously. But yeah, he's in the best place that he can be. Mm. You know, over in Ireland. But I think he's going to have to come back over to this country for the rest of the time because they haven't got the type of place what he requires over in Ireland, unfortunately. So it's going to take a lot of backing, a lot of money to help the man and his family. And the club have been magnificent, Liverpool. They really have. And the fans, not just Liverpool fans. Fans like talking about, you know, Seamus Coleman as well. Everyone's rallied round. When that happens to someone, it's really, really heart-rending. So, yeah, we're going tomorrow in Republic of Ireland. All boys are coming over from all over the place. And Liverpool players from all over Europe as well. And we're going head to head, so I can't lose. I'm playing 10 minutes for each one, or 15 minutes for each one, hopefully.
15 minutes so both sides.
I won't be on a losing side.
So if the manager doesn't have any faith on you, it doesn't matter, you can just move to the other bench can't you?
Who's the manager?
I think Kenny's in charge again, isn't he?
Kenny Flipper. Yeah. I don't know who's... it could be Robbie Keane for Anne, but Robbie's playing for Liverpool as well, so I'm not sure.
Right.
Sure.
Aviva Stadium, is it?
Aviva Stadium, there's still, you know, anyone listening over now, you can walk on in on the night, but I think the ticket sales were up to about 25,000 plus up to this weekish. But it'd be great to get another 10,000 on top of that and get 30.
So what is it, John? Liverpool against Republic of Ireland?
Yeah. Because there is costs, obviously, that's incurred and covered, you know, within the structure. So it's not going to be what... A massive lot of money, what he's going to get, which he needs. But anyway, everyone's going on rallying round, and you know, we'll do our, we'll all do our best.
Yeah, good night. Yeah.
Maybe if you promised to recreate your famous tantrum, that would attract another 10,000 people.
That's a good shout, yeah.
That's what you should have done. You should have put it on social media and said, I promise to kick off at the referee.
That will happen anyway.
And the linesman.
Yeah. You should have put that at you. See, if you'd said that,
you don't, you don't come to me for these ideas, do you?
Never mind, yeah.
Right, let's get back to the footy. And Marco Silva, has he said anything about getting to the Europa League? Has there been anything out of the club about this idea?
I haven't heard anything.
Because it's an ever closer possibility, isn't it, Sharpie?
So, where do we ever have to finish, Sharpie? How does it work out?
It works out with the FA Cup winners as well, doesn't it? Is it seventh?
Seventh.
I think, if I'm honest, I think.
So, Wolves.
I think Wolves might be the ones. But it all depends how they react after getting beat in the semi final.
That's one for you. Mm. Last game of the season. We need to beat Wolves to go to win the league and get you in Europe. You want us to get beat, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, let's bring in our next caller, our last caller, Phil. We can put that to him. He's a blue. Evening, Phil.
Evening, lads.
Right, hello, what do you make about Aldo's idea there?
Hiya, mate.
Last game of the season to get Everton.
No offence, John. I don't want Liverpool. No,
I knew you'd say that.
Just a quick thank you to Everton. Took some school kids over there last week to Finch Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the players looked after them brilliantly. So that's off there, lads.
Nice. Yeah, good.
And thought so with the 30th anniversary there with Hillsborough, John. And as you know, the city together and things like that. So
1,000,000%
for the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, right. We've just got a quick minute. So you want to touch on Baines and Jags?
Baines and Jags. I mean, I want to knock the fellas who've been shouting silver. You can see what the guy's going to do when he gets the team he wants together. But Jags and Baines. Jags proved that the weekend Sharpie.
Yeah.
He come in. He's only played 3 games, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a force. Them up front. And I thought he done brilliant. I'll give the two of them another 12 months myself. Just for their experience and what they can offer to the lads coming through, what do you think?
Phil spoke about it before. When you look at, you know, the situation, for me, I think it's important. I would sign Zuma. I've been impressed with Zuma. The boy Mina, who we've paid a lot of money for, I'm not sure. I saw him in the World Cup and I wasn't 100% sure then. I haven't seen enough of him here because of his injuries and everything else. But if you've got Zuma, you've got Mina, you've got Michael Keane. There's 3 centre-backs that you've paid a lot of money. One of the callers before said they bring Mason Holgate back. So there's 4. So that gives you a situation where Jags is looking at that and thinking, I ain't going to get in here, you know, if I've got 4 centre-halves in front. I don't even think they'll have 4 centre-halves. I think they'll settle for 3. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, is it Mason Holgate doesn't come back or they sell somebody on? I'm not sure, but I just think that if Holgate comes back, and I think I would sign Zuma if I had the chance. And I just think, looking at it, you know, the options are running out. I agree with you. I think Jags has been brilliant. I think he's never let us down. I'd love to keep him, but I just think with Jags' situation, he'd be looking at this as well and thinking, I ain't going to get a game here. So it's a tough decision for him.
Phil, we'd love to continue with you, but we got to go. Thank you very much for the point. We'll get you back on in the near future. Good luck to yourself, John, in the game this weekend. And, of course, the Reds and Blues. Mm-hmm. And if you've not decided on another match, Tranmere with a massive game against MK Dons. Please get along there. Hoping to get 10,000 plus in there. Should be quite the occasion. So support Rovers. Boys, thank you.
Cheers.
Legends back on Monday.